UCB1's Artist in the Spotlight with Joel Brown.
You know that music that comes on in a transition in a film? The type that plays while the main character is traveling or everything is falling into place. It's kind of like, oh, it's all okay. There's peace. And that for me is kind of like what Field Lily create. The songwriting sisters Emily and Bethany make up the Devon-based duo. You'll recognize them from songs like Grow, Let Go, Tell It How It Is, and Shelter, all part of their new EP Grow, which is out now. Make sure to give it a listen wherever you find your music. But Emily and Bethany, thank you so much to you two for taking the time. I'm really excited to have this conversation today and everything that we're going to get into. And I don't want to waste any time at all, because the new EP Grow, you know, like I said, it's out now. It's been quite a process of this over many years. And Emily, I want to come to you first on this, if this is okay, because I read somewhere that you said this helped process a lot of grief and a lot of change. This EP, it wasn't just music, was it?
No, I think, yeah, we'd been through quite a big transition post-lockdown, where we were in a previous band called Wild Bukin, and our third band member, Meg, our cousin, she decided to leave the band for amazing reasons. She went into youth work, and we were really supportive of her doing that. Yeah. But yeah, I think for us, it was just, obviously, when you do something for such a long time, when you have to let that go, there is definitely a time where you have to kind of grieve that. And yeah, I think then when we decided that we were going to do this new project as a duo, when we started writing songs, or when we were in the process of writing songs during that transition, it was kind of like a reflective time for us to, yeah, think about what did God have in store for us, what were we learning, what kind of revelations were coming to us. So I think singing the songs and reflecting on the meanings really kind of represents that time for us.
Bethany, can you tell me a little bit about your perspective on that transition, that switch from a trio to a duo, from your perspective?
Yeah, it was actually a really hard time. Like, I think, yeah, like we said, like, it was a real time of grieving, like, what once was, and kind of thinking about how, things would be moving forward felt really scary. And, like, we really took a lot of time to pray and, like, just ask God, like, what does it look like moving forward? Because I think we were doing quite well in the previous band, and a lot of people just kind of said, just keep going, pretend nothing's happened. And we were like, we can't do that. Like, we're like a family unit. We've been like working on songs together for such a long time, and like, just to pretend that like that hadn't happened or affected us, like, just felt so like wrong and unnatural. And I think we had to really actually fight a lot of the voices kind of telling us, like, just like, continue, like, what are you doing? Like, don't start again. Don't start like from the ground up, because it's just like silly business. Like, from a business point of view, it just looks really silly. And I think we had to really like just decide to like follow the voice of the Spirit. And yeah, for me, I think it was hard for both of us, but I think I felt really like we just had to totally stop everything and be like, God, what do you want this to look like moving forward? I think as well, like, we were under a major label, we had a lot of like team around us, a lot of voices, and I almost felt like it was an invitation to kind of just totally stop and like strip everything away. And just be like, God, what do you actually want like this to look like moving forward? And that was a really long process. And I think, yeah, I feel like God really like just said, wait on me. And I felt like God actually said, wait until kind of the autumn. And it was weird. It kind of gave me permission to kind of sit and wait on his voice. And it was actually, we came to the autumn, and I remember I was just in a, I was just praying about something random, I think. And I just felt God put the name Field Lily in my head. And I was like, what is that? This was like the process, like going on behind the scenes as well, was like, we were like, do we keep going, but change our name? Do we totally start again, work from the ground up? And like, yeah, there was a
or
lot
do
of
we keep the name?
Or do we keep the name? Yeah. But I think in that time or two when God said, wait, and then like hearing that, I think we kind of come around to the idea of like, let's just start from scratch.
Yeah.
Which
is the scariest option.
That is the scariest
option.
But
we really had the most peace about that, which kind of made us feel like, okay, well, maybe that's right then, because quite often God's way is like not the easy route. And so I think, we just had to like completely let go and trust that process, didn't we?
Yeah. And so I just heard the name Field Lily and I was like, what is that? Like, and then I kind of came away and I like looked it up and I found the verse, like Matthew 6, verse 28, about like, do not be anxious for anything, like look at the lilies of the field. And I felt like that was just such a summary of what God had been like teaching us that year, just to be like, don't worry. Because I think we were just so...
We were getting caught up with all the details and...
Yeah, and almost like this restlessness of like, God, what's next? Like, we want to just keep going. But then it was like, God was just like, no, like, wait on me.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was such a refining, is that the word? Mm-hmm. Time for us. But I think, even when God like said the name, there was still like a part of us that was still like kind of grieving the like what we had. And then almost...
Because it's starting, a new identity as well.
Yeah, it's a new identity and like starting, we were starting from the bottom up, like we were starting again. And that was a big process. Sorry, I think I totally just like didn't answer your question. Kind of did, but
no,
like,
you did. It's good. I like it. How long was that process? You said a couple of times it was a long process. Years? How long are we talking?
It was about a year and a half, I think. From when we did our last show with Meg as well, Bookin.
Yeah.
I
think we did the last show in the December. I think like me and Em knew for a long time that Meg was stepping away from the band. So before that, it was kind of a public announcement. We kind of knew that was coming. So I think even whilst Meg was still in it with us, we were like wrestling with this like, oh wow, like something's going to totally change. And so I think probably it's probably been quite a longer process, but I guess. The last show, like the last Wildwood Kin show to like when we became Field Lily, it was probably like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Which I think gave us, a lot of space to process and pray.
Yeah.
It is clear to see that obviously while there can be like the set amount of time as, you know, like the last show to the new identity, obviously hearts and emotions are so much more complicated than that. And so the emotion can really draw out the process. And yet it does seem like, and it sounds like there have been benefits to that. You know, Emily, how do you think that actually throughout this process, it has made you two closer together and more of a unit that maybe there wasn't the potential for beforehand?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of the things that comes to mind off the back of that is with Wildwood Kin, I think just even the dynamic of going from three to two is a big thing. I mean, I think as sisters, we've always been very like vulnerable and open with each other. But I think confidence was a big thing.
Yeah,
I think... us then stepping into a new level of confidence, learning to communicate as a duo. Meg was like an amazing communicator. We kind of defaulted to kind of not taking a back seat, but because Meg is such a good communicator on stage, I think we were just like kind of sat back in our own comfort zones.
Yeah, we kind of like pitch in to have to like kind of lead, like you get on a stage and you're having to kind of what's the word,
like facilitate, like, a space
yeah
for people to be able to connect with you. And I think I think for both of us, we were like, okay, this is going to be a journey of us learning to find our own voices and to, yeah, I think the main thing is obviously going from a family band with two sisters and a cousin to just being the two sisters. I think there is like, it sounds silly, but there is like a new kind of level of vulnerability with that when you're going from three to two. But yeah, I think in terms of like our way of communicating with each other, I don't know if that's really changed much. I think it's just more that it's maybe become a bit more evident to people. I think just, yeah, our relationship has obviously had to kind of like shine through what we do in Field Lily. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, I think we've just had to learn to be more vulnerable, essentially.
Yeah.
For our kind of way of communicating to shine through.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know if really much has changed though in terms of the way we communicate with each other.
I think there has been a like deepened level of closeness. Like we obviously always have been close, but I think we've had to go through quite a journey together. So I think we've learned to kind of be even more vulnerable and real about how we're feeling.
Yeah.
Through this process.
Do you think the fact that obviously there has been this emotional journey of years and of kind of, you know, for both of you really emotionally having to almost be broken down to then build each other up, you know, that you said the EP was written over the space of, I think it was like 4 years.
Yeah.
So how did that make the songs that you've now released? How did the fact that they were there for sort of 4 years or maybe somewhere in between. Bethany, how did that make the song sink into your heart that little bit more?
Yeah, I think, yeah, when we wrote those songs, like songwriting is such an amazing like gift to be able to like process what we're going through. And I think like at that time when we were going through all that stuff, it was like, okay, we're going to write songs about this to help us process. And I think sometimes you can think like, oh, because I wrote a song like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it's sort of not relevant anymore. But I actually think like for me, listening to those songs now like takes me back to like a really precious time with God, like what he was teaching me in that time about myself and about him. Like it's almost like we've always got these reminders when we sing these songs just of his faithfulness. And I think as well, like, since releasing the songs, they've kind of taken on, I think in the production process of songs as well, it kind of takes on new life. And like when you start performing the songs, it sort of brings a new life to the songs too. So what I was going to say was like when you release songs, you start to hear how the songs impact people, and people are like, that's exactly what I needed to hear like this week or through what I'm going through right now. So, yeah, they have taken on a new life almost in just through every part of the process, from the writing to refining it to performing it to like making new arrangements or like honing in on one line or just, yeah, there's a load of refinements as you're going through that process. And then, yeah, like you say, when you get into the studio and you're listening to it back, you do kind of you have to put yourself in the place of
the listener,
yeah,
and kind of think, well, how are these songs going to speak to people's hearts? How would they receive that? And it's quite exciting because it's all, you know, these songs are faith inspired by what we feel like God is teaching us. So it's quite exciting to think about how that will then teach others, like or bring kind of revelation to listeners. So in itself, like that's really precious, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the main thing is that like it's like a reminder for us of like God's faithfulness through the journey. So yeah.
Would you say that there's been a part of this, Emily, that has made you maybe more empathetic or given you a deeper understanding for what the people around you might actually be battling with in the first place?
Yeah, I think so, probably. I mean, I think when you actually start writing a song, you almost have to put yourself in that position, like, during the start of the process. And yeah, I think you almost start to, when you're writing, you're hearing God's heart for not just yourself, but for other people. And that's kind of like the whole reason why we want to write songs, is to kind of share that with others and share God's heart and his presence when they're listening. Like, that's kind of our goal, I guess, with songwriting. So yeah, I think maybe when you're on that journey and when you're listening back to the souls, even now, you think, oh, like, wow, that's really amazing that God put that on our hearts. And yeah, hopefully it does make you more sensitive to how people will receive that as well, if that answers the question at all.
I think whether it makes a change in your songwriting and your songs now, or maybe even a few years down the line, I think it's interesting with the type of music that you two create, that you've said is writing gentle songs for weary hearts. This could almost be like another string to the bow. And whether or not, like I said, that's now or into the future, I guess we'll wait and see. So now that the EP is out there, Bethany, for someone like me listening to the EP for the first time, how do you two want me to feel on the other side of listening to it?
Yeah, I think our hope is always that people like encounter God and like his love, but also like his peace and just like his presence. I think like we've always felt kind of more called into like the secular space. Like so when we write our songs, we always try and use language that feels accessible to non-Christians as well as Christians. I think almost it's weird, but like the best compliment sometimes is when someone tells us that our music has made them cry. And like, I haven't cried in years, and like your song just made me weep. And it's like, wow, like, because I think music's so powerful, isn't it? Like it gets into the deep spaces in people's hearts. And like, I think it can almost like, where there's like pain, it can just like touch it and just like bring release. And like being able to cry is such a like gift from God, to just help kind of shift stuff. And I think, yeah, when we write our songs, we always just like want, I think it's almost like when we're writing a song, if it moves us, we kind of feel like that's God in it, and we want people to just encounter his presence when they listen to our songs. And it's funny because we kind of always just feel like, oh, that's just like a silly little song, like well, we don't, but like you kind of, we underestimate our own like
what, well, we God underestimate put, God.
So yeah, we underestimate God in our music. Yeah. So yeah, that's always our prayer. Just like whenever we get up on stage, we just pray like God, like just minister to people's hearts and like move people and reveal something of yourself or your beauty. I think that's the thing as well. Like when we write our music, we want it to be beautiful, because I think beauty like brings hope. It offers hope to people. So yeah, that's always our goal, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always felt called into the secular music space, or is that something that's maybe more recent?
Yeah, I think we always have. Originally, when we started the Wildwoodkin stuff, we really all felt like that was where God was calling us. I think almost like once you're put in the sort of Christian artist space, it actually kind of like stops you sometimes from going into certain, you know, venues and festivals, and I think it almost would have like created a bit of a block. But then it's like, yeah, actually going into like festivals that can be quite, I don't know, quite dark, it's like we feel like we're able to bring a light and like bring his presence into that space and like minister to people. But I actually think with Field Lily, there's been a bit more of a shift, because I think we felt like God was saying like, we're going to be more rooted in Christian community as we're creating and writing. And it's been amazing how God's done that. Like, we're part of a church called St. Basil's in Devon, and there's just so many amazing creative people. Like, we've never known anything like it. Like, and it's been amazing because it's enabled us to be part of like a songwriting group, which I think has like challenged us and stretched us in our songwriting, because we've been writing more like congregational stuff as well as like kind of singer-songwritery stuff that's a bit more Christian, I guess. So I think we're almost like, there's sort of a bit of a shift now in our writing because we are writing more Christian stuff. And I think like we're being asked, invited to different Christian events that we wouldn't necessarily have done as much of before. Yeah. But we still, like, it is still very much like we want our music to be accessible to everybody. Like, we would hate for like, I don't know, something to kind of make someone feel like, oh, I'm just going to turn this off now because I don't understand that, or I don't get that language. Yeah. Like, so we're always very careful when we write our lyrics, like that.
Yeah, that it's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about this writing group? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's very cool. So a lot of the UCB listeners are probably aware of Lucy Grimble's music. And Lucy is part of our church. We have done a lot of writing with her. We've grown really close as friends. And so Lucy and her husband Tom have started up this songwriting group, I guess. And so
yeah,
there's singer-songwriters from all around the UK, actually. They're all kind of connected. And then maybe like four times a year, we'll all gather together at Lucy's on Dartmoor, and we'll have a day of writing songs, so we get put into groups. And yeah, it's just a really lovely time. We're all great friends. And then at the end of the day, we all like perform them together, which is really cool. So, and we record them, and yeah, and then we decide if we want to develop them more. And we're hoping that actually a lot of the songs that have been written over the last like year and a half, 2 years,
yeah,
might be released in the next year or so. Yeah. As like a collective.
It's like unofficial right now. Yeah. We don't want to like give too much away, but we're definitely in the works of like, we want something to happen with it. So keep an eye and an ear out for that. We've actually got one this weekend, haven't we? So
we do. And also
going right.
We just off the back of that, we've written a song with the Moses Brothers. Or Moses Brothers, I think then.
Yeah, now officially
Moses Brothers. So one of the writes that we did last year, we collaborated with them on a song, and we're actually releasing that
April.
What's the date?
I think it's the 17th, but
yeah.
Early April. We'll go with that. Cool.
But it's just such an amazing time. Again, I think for us, just like plugging into like a faith, our faith community. Mm-hmm. And there's writers there that do just work, write congregational music. And then there's those who are a bit more similar to us, who want to bring like faith filled music into the secular scene. So it's just such a cool thing to be a part of, and so life-giving. So
yeah, we always feel so encouraged, don't we? Away. I think sometimes we're like, can we even remember how to write songs? And then you write another song and you're like, oh yeah, still works.
It's really refreshing, and just a really good time to just like hone the skill of songwriting as well.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's very, very precious times.
So can you tell me a little bit more as well about that transition? It sounds like this writers group has made quite a difference in that maybe change of focus, you could say, from focusing more to the secular or mainstream music to then more of a Christian setting. Emily, can you kind of, just unpack that a little bit more for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has felt very different for us to be writing with other Christians, because I mean we did write with other Christians before, but I think for us, we've been able to explore more like congregational worship songwriting, or like writing from the Psalms, for example. And I think it's just, I think if anything, for us, it's just that we're kind of able to just feel free to like just express our faith like fully, and for that to maybe kind of be received by like specifically like the Christian community.
So I think
if anything for us, it's just really nice for us to have that focus and to not then be thinking, oh, how will this translate?
It's nice to have an outlet.
It's really not lasting.
Like, oh, maybe we should change that word because that might not translate very well. Like,
but also I think when you're writing in groups for maybe musicians that are specifically writing for like writing worship songs, it's just really nice to collaborate with that as well, and for it not to necessarily be for Field Lily, but to be for other people as well. So it's just another outlet, if anything.
And it kind of sounds like, I like what you were saying, that almost some of the maybe editing is actually has disappeared now, because you can kind of make something and you're like, yeah, we can be a little bit more explicit about, you know, say either saying God or what, you know, whatever that may look like, actually is quite, yeah, it's quite exciting and quite refreshing, and something that I'm sure that we would see more of at your EP release show. Bethany, can you tell me a bit more about that? That's super exciting.
Yeah, so we thought we'd kind of mark the occasion as our debut EP has just been released. On the 11th of April, we're doing an EP release show at a venue in Exeter, just outside of Exeter, a beautiful medieval barn called Higher Egbert Farm. And they're going to light up with candles and everyone will be seated on hay bales, I think. So quite kind of country rustic vibes. But yeah, we're going to get our band together to play the songs from the EP and other songs we've not released yet. And we've also got Moses Brothers opening for us, and we're going to share the song that we've collaborated on together. If anyone wants to join, we've got tickets available on Eventbrite, which you can find on our social media. And
that sounds like it's going to be a wonderful time. Do you, either of you, have a favorite song from the album? Maybe a favorite to perform, or actually just a favorite song from the EP?
Yeah, we were talking to someone about this yesterday because we feel like it's changed a lot. I think currently my favorite recording is actually Let Go, but I think my favorite song to perform is Tell It How It Is. Yeah.
Mine used to be Tell It How It Is. Now I think I just love playing Grow live. And then I think recording-wise, I'm really loving Shelter the most at the moment.
But we've made quite
changes. It's changed. It's so funny.
That intro to Grow gets me every time, to be fair. I think it's beautiful. The way it just sets the scene for the EP, I think it's fantastic. But Emily, I'm glad you said Shelter, because I wanted to ask you about the Shelter music video and what has happened there.
It's really sad. I mean, it's fine, but basically, well, actually, you can probably tell the story better because it was your...
Well, yeah, so I wanted to actually film and direct one of our music videos. So we were really organised. Like, we filmed this in the summer last year. We got one of our friends who we grew up with. She's an amazing dancer, and she came down and we like kind of went up to Dartmoor at sunset and sunrise, and she was dancing and it was so beautiful. And we were really excited to like put this video together. And to be honest, it was kind of my fault because I should have just got on it sooner, but I was just dealing with loads of stuff. Anyway, so my hard drive, 5 terabyte hard drive, just crashed one day. This was a week before the EP release, and it's always the way, isn't it? So I sent it off to be looked at, see if any of it's retrievable. Thank the Lord, they said it is, but they need very specific, specialized people to get the data back. But they told me it was going to take 120 days, to be exact, which is about 4 months. So
it's going to be a very late release.
But
maybe it's for a reason. We keep saying it might be for a reason that it's not going to be released like straight off the back of the EP release, and then it's just something to look forward to.
because it is really beautiful. Beth did such a good job.
It will all come back and we can edit it and then release it late. So yeah, that's the story there.
Oh God, it is sad. I'm going to, when I saw, I think there was a post on Facebook and I saw it and I went, oh no, I need to ask about that. And I mean, I really hope it doesn't scare either of you away from making a music video in the future. let's just hope that soon we can have videos for, you know, for all of them. I did want to ask you a little bit about that that new song with Moses Brothers. It's going to be out, you know, sort of early, mid-April. We're very excited for that. There was a video you put on your Instagram, and I can't get this out of my head. Why Rich is holding a crutch in the air? Emily, can you tell me the story? Because I can't figure it out.
Oh, dear Rich, bless him. He tore his Achilles playing football. Was it like 3 weeks ago now? Maybe?
I think it's a bit longer.
Maybe a bit longer. So that's why he has a crutch, because he's got his foot in a boot and he has to wear it at all times. And I think he said he's still got like 6 weeks of having to wear it. But he did tell us that a bit of a miracle happened when he was leading worship the other day, and he said he's never had it before. But I mean, I don't think he said anyone was specifically praying, but he was just leading worship.
Yeah.
And he felt like this vibration in his foot, and he was like, I've never experienced it before.
Yeah.
And so then he went, I think he went for a checkup, didn't he?
Yeah, he went for like a scan or something.
Yeah. And and the doctor was like, this is going to heal like properly. Like this is really good.
I think he said there was a bone that had totally shattered, but then the bone was just
reconnected.
Restored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So he was like, yeah, I think it's healed, but he's, I think, just trying to make sure it's still protected. So he's still wearing the boot, but he was like, I'm going to get on my crutches. So that's why the crutch in the photo, we were like, yeah. Well, it's just a reminder of the time, reminder of the miracle. So
it was very bizarre. I saw it and I was like, what is going on here? I was like, there must be a story. Oh, bless him though. Poor Rich playing football as well. Bless him. Poor guy. Oh, okay. Okay, well, look, I'm sure he's going to get better soon. And we're very excited for the song to release, but also everything going into the, you know, into the future. You mentioned there'll be hopefully some more releases as this collective, as this writing group coming out. Is there anything else that we can expect from you two? You know, there's a lot that's kind of settling into place at this moment in time. The new EP is out as well. So what else have you two got planned, and what are your hopes and dreams maybe for the rest of this year into the future? Bethany, I want to hear your heart on this.
I mean, I think we'd love to, I mean, we want to actually specifically make more time to write new stuff, because we just need, it's so hard, you get caught up in all the admin bits and stuff when you're an independent musician. I think we'd love to do a support tour. It's just a great way of like getting your music into out to new audiences. Do a little like UK tour. We'd love to do that. Mm-hmm. We'd love to release an album at some point.
Or maybe write another EP. We've still got other songs that aren't recorded. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, maybe getting back into the studio.
Yeah.
Maybe late summer. But I think the priority now is like, let's write some new songs, add them to the repertoire.
And maybe keep doing a few collaborations in the meantime.
Yeah, we love collaborating with our artists, don't we?
It's
just such a joy. So, but I think, a support tour would be ideal. We're sort of, we don't know what that's going to look like yet, but that would be a dream.
Okay, well, look, you've heard it here. Phil and Lily, they're ready for a support tour. So, you know, let them know, hit them up. Were there any other songs on like the first draft of the Grow EP that didn't make it to the final cut?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, the limitation really was funding, because we basically did a fundraiser for this EP, and I think it's so expensive to record just one song. So I think we kind of almost had to limit ourselves for that reason. Like, there definitely were songs we could have put on it, but we wanted to kind of keep money aside for like the promotion and stuff of the song. So we kind of just had to make that decision. Like, let's just keep it at four. I would have loved to have had five tracks, really. But
Yeah, because we had the Christmas song that we wanted to record as well. So
okay, well, look, hopefully we'll see and hopefully hear more about those in the future. What was that like, crowdfunding for the EP? Because obviously there is definitely a humility in it, I think. But what was that process like, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we ever thought that we would do a kind of crowdfunder, like fundraising campaign. Like you say, it is, you do have to have a lot of humility, I think. Just asking people to support you financially is like, it just feels really wrong. It's not. Like, I think we had to learn that, like, actually, people do really want to get on board with your vision and want to support you in that way. But I think that was quite a battle at first. But we basically, we played Creation Fest 2 summers ago and we met a guy called Andy Baker. I think actually we met him before, but we had a really good discussion with him. And he is the founder of Rocket Fuel, which is like it's a crowd.
Like Kickstarter. Funded,
like Kickstarter, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a Christian as well. So he really understood our vision. And he came up to us at our merch table and we had our merch set out and it said, you know, all of the proceeds from the merch sales will go towards our recording costs. So he said, look, I do this thing called Rocket Fuel and it essentially kind of like trains you up to, like, I guess, like communicate your vision with people. Mm. And it was such an amazing experience and we learned a lot doing it.
Yeah.
I think it taught us a lot of discipline and planning ahead. And yeah, Andy was just, yeah, so supportive with that and really kept us accountable because I think,
yeah,
it takes a lot of motivation to, like, because you almost, it is a big project and you have to know all the reasons why you're doing what you're doing, what you want to achieve, you know, what the budget is. And I think we were so kind of like, airy-fairy about it. We were like, yeah, well, it'll probably cost around this much, but he really helped us to almost like treat it like a business plan and so that we could be completely transparent with people to be able to communicate, look, it's going to cost this, like, these are all of the hidden costs, you know, do you want to come on board with that? And we were so blown away with how many people wanted to support our vision, essentially.
Yeah.
Who had maybe been part of our journey with Wild Wakin and they were like, great, we want to support what you're doing now.
Mm.
Our church community was so amazing with supporting us with that. But it was a really creative process as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We essentially set up a shop where we would sell merch, but we would also sell experiences for people. So we had some people commission us to write songs for them, so they would support us financially, and then in return we would write a song for like a specific thing, or we would dedicate a song to like a loved one, mm-hmm. or we'd do a songwriting session. So we had to think of all of these different ideas, just so that it wasn't like
give us your money.
Like, it was really nice to kind of have that like transaction as well. So that was really, really fun.
Yeah,
doing that.
We're so glad we did that because I think to begin with we were like, we're never going to do that. Like, yeah. I think just the thought of being that sort of desperate like musician on social media, please give us your money, and like it just felt so like not us.
Yeah.
But I think we were able to do it in a way that felt like it was almost like a collaboration with people rather than, and like some really amazing generous people just gave us like huge amount of money, and we just couldn't even really like comprehend like that someone would want to do that. So I think, yeah, I'm so glad that like Andy encouraged us to go for it, because I think we would have just been like, no, like no one's going to want to support us, like, and like we obviously wouldn't have this EP now if we mm-hmm. hadn't have done that. So we're so glad that we did it, and
very, very grateful.
We kind of got over ourselves and our limitations and
yeah.
Well, a big shout out to Andy and obviously everything that he's taught you, but also just the, like you said, that experience and everything that has kind of built up out of you, building up your confidence, realizing all these other strings to your bow that you have. And then also, you know, making the EP almost something as more, something very precious, because, you know, you've done your bit, other people have helped out, and then together, there's this really beautiful body of music that you two have created. And I'm sure you know that it is the first of many. Obviously, the first EP from Field Lily, as we know you two now, but plenty to come in the next couple years. But just before we wrap our time up, Emily and Bethany, thank you again for taking the time. There's something that I get to ask each and every artist in the spotlight, or something along these lines, okay? Now, with a lot of your music, with the visual aspect of it, not every time, but most of the time, there is water related, like some body of water, you know, either like a super picturesque lake or the sea or something like that. And so I wanted to ask you two, okay, if you could go on a beach day with any two people, you get to pick one person each, who would they be? And is there any particular beach that you would go to?
I think I'd have to say my husband.
Oh, okay. Boo. Feels like a cheap answer, but no, I'll give that to you.
What? I think I know who you're going to say.
Well, I thought it would be like a famous person. Everybody
knows.
Oh, a
famous person.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just like
someone
somebody...
that you can like learn from and like ask questions. Like,
is that what you meant? Or did you mean like a loved one or?
It can be absolutely anyone. Okay. Emily, yours is kind of like the wholesome answer, but Bethany was straight away thinking for the stars. I like it.
Yeah. I was thinking of like people present and gone. Like Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I can't spend the day with Jesus on the beach. I mean, the person that just came into my head literally because we were kind of, us and the Moses brothers were like fangirling about him massively the other day, is Phil Collins. Because he's just such a legend. And like, we were saying that like, it's sort of like, I think you could call it like a guilty pleasure in a way. Like, just because like, I guess he wrote Disney song. I mean, obviously he's an amazing musician and like has released his albums, but I guess he's well known for like the Tarzan soundtrack and Brother Bear, and they are like the ultimate best Disney soundtracks. Like, yeah, and like just his drumming and his songwriting, we've taken a lot of inspiration. Like sometimes I think one of our songs, Sunrise, there's something in it that we're like, oh, is that actually a bit Tarzan? Like we can hear his influence in our music. Other people, actually, no, one person once was like, I can hear Phil Collins in this. And we were like, yes. So I think, yeah, a beach day with Phil Collins. That's so random. He's very old now, bless him. So we'd have to...
He's not that old.
He's quite old.
No, he's not.
He is. Oh. Anyway,
that's a good answer though.
There would be plenty to learn certainly from Phil Collins. I like that. You know, you're reaching high up on the star list there. Emily, did you want to say anything else? It is perfectly okay to take your husband, but you can also pick like some kind of celebrity.
Oh, I don't know.
Find out like a Bible person,
Bible character.
That's made it even harder now because my brain is scanning.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really hard. I think I'm more now thinking about which beach would it be?
Oh, yeah.
It's a tricky question. I was hoping to put you on the spot, to be fair, and kind of catch you off guard with it.
Oh, I honestly can't think of a celebrity because now I've just got
okay.
Phil Collins,
you choose the beach.
Okay, I choose the beach. We love Budley Beach. It is actually it's in Devon. And it is like one of our favourite things to do when it's warm enough is to go to the beach in the evening, have a swim in the sea, make a fire, have a barbecue. It's a pebbled beach as well. So like
you don't get the
sand. No, you don't get the sand. But it is just like one of my favourite activities and it just feels so wholesome. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm just happy with that.
Wholesome.
If that's the last beach I go to, I would, yeah.
That sounds like a grand, very bizarre day out, but like a grand day out. I think that would be fantastic. As long as you two are on music as well, I think that everyone would have a good time. Well, look, Field Lily, thank you so much for taking the time. Emily and Bethany, it's been a joy to be able to speak to the both of you today to pick apart your new EP, Grow, of course, which is out now. Wherever you listen to your music, make sure to check that out as well. New music from Moses Brothers 2 that is on the way, and as well, this EP release gathering show that you're having as well, which is going to be awesome. And we're very excited for everything that you two are going to bring us in the future. We'll wait with bated breath until we can see and hear a little bit more about that. But in the meantime, God bless, stay safe, and we look forward to catching up again soon. That was this week's Artists in the Spotlight. Follow us on socials, the details are in the description, and there'll be a new episode next week, so don't forget to subscribe.